And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I'm Tommy.
What's up, good people? It's India.
Hey, India. How was your last 2 weeks?
It has been good. No huge good complaints over here. Doing well, doing well. Thank you for the peeps that have checked on me. I know people like, you ain't been posting on social media. I've been getting all the DMs, so I appreciate it. I see you all's comments and posts. But I'm here. I'm shaking.
Good to hear that you are here and still moving and shaking. Yes. Now, before we get going, I did want to, because on the last show, I congratulated one of my running friends, Gary Wiley, for qualifying for the New York Marathon time-wise. There was another running friend that also qualified at the same race for the New York City Marathon.
Huh? Did they call you out? Like, you forgot somebody. You forgot to shout somebody out.
And she hadn't posted. She hit me up on the DM at once she actually posted. She just wasn't in the mood, I don't think, to post. But she did qualify also. She ran 1 hour, 43 minutes, and 23 seconds and qualified also for the New York City Marathon time-wise. She was a little in her feelings because she actually was training to run the marathon at this event and got sick during her training process, which I think many of know that feeling of getting sick during training during a marathon. I know every marathon I've ever trained for, somewhere in there, I've caught a cold or something, just because, you know, your immune is kind of down because you're constantly running, you're tired. So she got sick, didn't feel like she could run the marathon due to her interruption of training. So she dropped down to the half. And as she says in her post, silver lining, she was able to qualify for the New York City Marathon time-wise. So great. Congratulations. Also, Lisa's another one that puts in her time, puts it, trains. You might not hear her talk about it too much, but she puts it in, she sets goals, and she gets it done.
Yes, yes. Well, congratulations. That is so good. I think there's a beauty behind putting in the work and seeing it come out on the other end in a positive way. So congratulations to Gary and Lisa and everyone else that qualified. That's amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. So we are in the Christmas season.
Yes.
It doesn't look like it outside in Atlanta.
It don't feel like it either.
We don't get snow. It's still, it's a little chilly, but it's not like, you know, cold, like some people are probably feeling right now.
Yeah, definitely. So, we've been hitting the 60s a little bit this week. So I will definitely say that Atlanta is definitely in a place of being a little seasonably warm. But, you know, like you said, we're not used to getting the snow and stuff, but I've been enjoying it. I've gotten out a couple days over the last couple weeks to get a mile or so in here or there. So when I see that my office sits right outside of a window where I can see out in the front of the house, and so I can see people driving by or walking by. And when I see people out there with like little jackets or short sleeves, I'm like, oh, it's nice outside. I need to take it on outside. So
exactly.
But yes.
Exactly.
So, Tommy, last weekend, I had the beauty of volunteering at the Singleton 20K Relay put on by Atlanta Track Club. It was a good time. It was a good time. The rain held off for us because it was definitely supposed to rain pretty bad that week. But I mean, that day, but I was able to participate at the train. I was basically standing at the transition zone for the relay. So it's a 20K relay. So two people could run 10K basically, or four people could run a 5K a piece, but it was really good to see everyone out there. A lot of people were participating in some really good teams that were out there getting their miles in. It was right off of the West Side Beltline, so they were able to kind of basically jump on the Beltline, do an out and back process, and then kind of hand off their baton to the next team. And I just love the way that Atlanta Track Club has it set up to where there is a tracker that's actually on the baton for each team, and that's how they track each individual lap or distance that's taking place. So it was a good time seeing that race. And I would definitely say if you did not run that race this year, definitely check it out for 2024, and I'll definitely probably be out there volunteering for 2024 as well.
Yeah, that's is that a new relay? Because it wasn't always a relay.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't always a relay. They changed the distance on that and switched it to a relay.
Okay, yeah, because I think I've run the Singleton before, but it was a rough race.
It was like an 8K in the past at one point?
Something like that, yeah, because it was rough. I do remember that because it was a two-loop race that ended at one of the MARTA stations. I do remember
that. Yes, yeah, definitely so, definitely so. And I will say, so because I was at the exchange on Tommy, let me tell you. So I was able to see how many of the team members have taken off. So on their bibs, it said A, B, C, or D. And so there was this one lady, she was kind of frustrated that her teammate had not come back yet with the, like, for her lap. And she was like, well, she saw me, I had a timing gun in my hand too, so I was helping with some timing as well. So she was like, well, can you tell me where she is? And I'm like, no, like, this isn't that type of race where I can tell you like where on the course they are. But honestly, I felt bad because she was concerned about being last. And unfortunately, her team was last. And Tommy, the last person, their D runner, had never run a 5K before. She had never run before. She really wasn't equipped. Like, you could just tell she was going to run with this big bag and like all this stuff. We was like, girl, keep your bag here. You don't need to run with your bag. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want any extra weight on you. But I just felt really bad. So like right before she took off, I was chatting with her and I had went over to kind of let them know like, hey, the last runner just went out. She's doesn't have experience in running. And I think for me, it just really triggered that I know when it's your first 5K and your first race, you're more than likely going to be out there kind of solo because the majority of the runners have already finished. But I just really did not want her to have a bad first time race experience because I feel like when you're a runner and your first 5K, like if it's not a good experience, it can really deter you from wanting to do races. So I stayed a little bit after my volunteer schedule and like went on the course to see where she was and like made sure that she came in. But I was just like, and you know, they of course had a little team to cheer her on at the end. But I felt really bad for her, but I hope that she will return back to running. Like those are the type moments that I like to give to people because I don't want to lose people in the running community because they didn't have a good experience.
That would discourage you definitely. So what was the atmosphere like? Because I mean, I've done some relays. So what was the atmosphere like? Was there quite a few teams? Was it very, very competitive? Like what kind of atmosphere was out there?
There were definitely like, I believe there may have been 100 teams. So it was decent amount of teams. I will definitely say there was a good number of the Atlanta Track Club elites that were out there. Of course, they did well and came in the beginning, but I mean, they weren't, I don't think that they were running their full speed, but of course their fast is our out of breath and we can only go 200 or even a meter, 100 meters their speed. But you definitely had some competitive teams out there. So you had some competitive teams that were trying to bring it in. And a lot of mixed bags, but you saw also a lot of beginner runners out there doing it with their family. So you saw a lot of family. You had Nura Goodson. I don't know if you're familiar with Muslimas Indoor. So her organization was out there. They had several different teams that was participating. So I think it was good and a good well-rounded mix of competitive beginner and moderate. So,
yeah. I got you. I got you.
Yeah, but it was definitely a good time. So we're ready. Ready.
I mean, I think relays are fun because you get that experience of running those, you know, longer races, but you know, but it's in a team environment. So it's just not you out there, you know, by yourself. So I like relays myself. So it to me, it would be something that maybe somebody who's not too familiar with you know, the running community would want you sign up for relays so they have somebody else there that they don't feel like they're out there alone, basically.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. And then, of course, you see the different people from different, I guess, because it was like a loop. So you're actually being able to see who's out there and who's out there with you. Obviously, there was still the Beltline was still open to other people. So I'm sure there was, you know, people on the Beltline that's like, what's going on? and you know, giving you their cheers because they see you with your bib on. So definitely a good fun atmosphere. I would recommend independent. And I probably, you know, depending upon what my 2024 looks like, probably either sign up or volunteer again. It looked like it was a good event. I don't know if it will be in the same place next year, but I definitely think that it would be worth doing it again. So keep it on your list. And for any of our listeners that are in Atlanta, I think it's a good race to sign up for.
Okay, cool.
Yes. But as we are talking about the Singleton 20K, I also want to talk about Publix. Tommy, you mentioned Publix on our last episode, and you were thinking about doing a half marathon. Am I wrong?
I'm pretty sure you might be right. I don't know. Who knows what I
think? He don't know. But the Publix... Tommy may be doing the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend, which has a lot of different races associated with it. So on Saturday, February 23rd, they have the 5K. They also have a 3K that they are adding, which is for individuals that are 7 to 14. And a 3K is about a little bit less than 2 miles. So it's about 1.86 miles. And then, of course, they have the cutest little run of the 50 meter dash for the kids that are 14 and under, which I'm pretty sure Trey will be participating in. And of course, that is coupled with the youth and track and field zone. So that will be taking place on February 23rd. And then of course, the big day on February 24th is the marathon and half marathon on Sunday, February 24th. That'll be taking place here in Atlanta. We do have people that come in and fly in, and they ask what race is best to do in Atlanta. I would definitely say the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend is good because it's a fun packed weekend from the expo to the different race options. And then also it's just a really good vibe. I feel like it's the biggest race or half marathon and marathon distance here in Atlanta. And it's just really good. What you think, Tommy?
Well, I mean, you know, we can take this back years because I've run the half maybe two or three times. I've run the marathon twice. Mm-hmm. I've always enjoyed the experience. Now, I'm not gonna play with you. It's Atlanta.
It's Atlanta.
Hills.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have hills, but I mean, get out there and do your thing. I have run both courses on the marathon, the one that took you way out in Decatur and then the new one that brings you in. And honestly, I mean, I will say the new one I like better. I know some people didn't like the fact that you ran back and you saw the half marathoners, you know, finishing and you're still going out to run the second half of the marathon. But at least it brings you back into the crowd. You get people cheering for you. You can see your loved ones if they're waiting at the finish line for you. So you get to see them as you make your trek back out to the second half of your marathon.
Definitely, definitely. And something that's amazing about this race is that not only is it good vibes, but I really feel that the 5K and the other distances are really family friendly. Like, I feel like it's a weekend where a lot of people come out. And if I'm looking at the calendar right, Tommy, we are 12 weeks out from that weekend. So you have time to train, whether that be a 5K, half marathon, you definitely have some time to train. You might want to already be trained up if you're going to do the full.
Yeah, if you're trying to run the marathon,
You should already be in the training or get on to it. But we are 12 weeks out from the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend, and we definitely want you all to participate. Now, something that I did see, Tommy, that is amazing is that obviously you'll be running through with a really good finish that will be taking place at the Home Depot backyard, which is new this year. Typically, you definitely did mention that it typically ends in the Centennial Olympic Park, but it will be the Home Depot backyard for 2024. So there's going to be some switch ups there, but I definitely think that it is worth participating. And of course, Atlanta Track Club always does amazing with their races. Now, since Tommy and I, you always hear Tommy and I talk about Atlanta Track Club races, more specifically the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend. So it was only great for us to give you all a discount code. So if you are interested in signing up for the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend, you can use discount code RD23 to get 10% off today. So definitely go on over, sign up, don't procrastinate. I already told you have 12 weeks left for registering for this race. So definitely step on over, RD23 for 10% off. Go get it.
There you go. Yeah, go get it. Go get it. And just talking about races as we're, you know, I didn't get to run a lot of races this year. I am going to finish the year off with a 10 miler. When a test is races,
this weekend. Yeah. I'll see you out there. I'm emceeing the race. Yes. Okay. Is this going to be the first race that I'm emceeing that you participated in?
No, I ran the 10K for Lululemon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. You ain't called my name when I crossed the fence line.
I'll make sure I call your name.
Me, Troy, I ran with Troy, and you ain't called either one of us. We were like, hey.
Don't do that to me.
Hey, Miss Abina.
I did say a lot of people's name. I just couldn't get everybody. But I'm going to try to do my best to make sure that I call your name across the finish line this weekend. I'm excited for that. So you're doing a 10-miler, not the 10K.
I am doing well right now. I might have to switch it up. I don't know because things are going on in the family. So training dropped off in the last 2 weeks. So
I think you should stick with the 10 miler.
I can run 10 miles. It's just, it is what it is. So hopefully I'll be out there and run my 10 miles and grab me a couple of beers before I hit the house. I'm a parent. I'm just happy to be out the house. So, let's run. Yeah, let me run that 10 miles so I have more time to myself.
Yeah, you do that. I always have the drink ticket that I be giving away so I can have my extra drink ticket because I don't ever use them. Yes,
exactly. So that's the way I'm ending my year. I think I don't know. Are we going to, at this end of the year almost, I guess we do have a couple of shows. What do we got? One more show before the end of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but, end of the year, putting together what did my year look like in running since it is a running podcast. And, I felt like it was real consistent. So we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Yes, definitely. Well, that'll be good. I can't wait to see you. I'll definitely do my best to cheer your name on. Usually if I see people that I know, usually I definitely try to give them a shout out. So I would definitely do my best to do that. Yes. So I will be there. That will be my last race of 2023 that I will be race announcing. And I'm just so blessed because people have already been asking me for 2024 gigs. I think I have about 4 or 5 races already on tap potentially for 2024. I have some conflicting races, which is good to have, right? When people ask,
that's a good problem to have. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good problem to have on the same days. So definitely looking forward to that. And we'll see what 2024 holds, but I'm glad that people are asking for the services in 2024 already.
2024 going to be off the chain for both of us. So let's speak it into
the atmosphere. Yes, Tommy.
It's going to be off the chain for both of us.
Yes. Speaking of 2024, Tommy, this past weekend was the California International Marathon, and that took place on Sunday. And it was basically the last race of the year for individuals to be able to qualify for the Marathon Olympic Trials, which is happening February 3rd, 2024. So there were 14 runners that qualified at that race. And of course, when it comes to the ladies, y'all know I love giving love to the ladies. The ladies did have to run 2 hours and 37 minutes flat or faster in order to qualify for the Marathon Olympic Trials. And that's basically like a solid 6 minute mile, like a little bit low, but a solid 6 minute mile. So 14 individuals qualified for the Marathon Olympic Trials at CIM, which is amazing. And I want to give a huge shout out to Peyton Thomas. We interviewed her on episode 57 of the podcast when she was, after she ran the trials here in Atlanta. We were like, who is this? Who is this person? Back in 2020, we interviewed her. So if you want to hear more about Peyton Thomas, definitely go on over episode 57. Of course, she's done a lot of life in the last 3 years since we talked to her. But you know what, Tommy? I think I would like to have her on again after she completes the trials in Orlando to see kind of what she's been up to. I know when we were talking to her, she was getting her doctorate degree, doing all the amazing things in the world. And of course she just busted out. She doesn't post much on social media, but of course she did post. She ran a 2:35:50 to qualify her for the trials, and she was sixth placed in CIM race. So congratulations to Peyton, and definitely go on over and listen to that episode if you have not already in the past. And I also want to give an additional shout out to Allie Kiefer. She is a runner for several years that was one of the runners that was always in the media, and a lot of people were talking about her. And then for the last 4 years or so, she has either DNF'd in races or didn't start races or different things have happened to her. She definitely battled some injuries and just trying to mentally get back into the game. And she came out hard for the CIM race, and she came in second place with an amazing time. So it was kind of her comeback race, and she did an amazing job coming back as well. So congratulations to her. Congratulations to Peyton and also everyone else that qualified for the trials. As of November 20th, and this is from the Marathon Olympic Trials website, they do need to update it since Sunday's race, but since November 20th, there are 144 women that qualified for the trials in the marathon and 15 mm-hmm. women that qualified for the half marathon. And then for men, 194 men for the marathon.
Oh, wow.
And then 6 men for the half marathon. So I think it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day for the trials.
What I do like about the U.S. is that we put it on the track. We do the trial. People actually go out and prove themselves by running. It's not the same way everywhere. And just, you know, Kenya, even though I'm really excited to see Kenya's, if nothing else, the men's running team, because we got two record holders, world record holders, that are going to be on there. Eliud Kipchoge and the recent winner of the or world record holder, Kiptum, are going to be on the Kenyan team. Their team is picked just, you know, based on different factors, where their ranking is in the world. I like the fact that they in the U.S., we put it on the track. We let you, mm-hmm. even if you have never run, you know, this time before, you can run a PR in the Olympic trial and go to the Olympics. So, yeah, I think Orlando, that's going to be a hellified weekend down in Orlando for the trials. And I hope to be there myself.
Yes, definitely. I might need to chat it up with you, Tommy, to see if I should make my way down there. I think it should be definitely a fun weekend. So we'll see. We'll see.
They still got hotel rooms. I was just checking them. They still got rooms down there. So
they do, and they're not too bad.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're not too bad, but they still got rooms.
They still got rooms.
The prices are still, you know. But it's Orlando. Prices are always like that. So it's not a big
deal. Because a lot of people go to
It's a tourist spot. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I will also like to mention that the Marathon Valencia took place, and there was a course record broken there with a time of 2:01:48, and that was done by Ethiopian Cisse Lima. So I don't know about you, Tommy, but these marathon times keep getting lower and lower. I feel like we should do a wager. Do you think that breaking 2 is happening within the next like 5 years, or you think it's going to be a little bit longer?
I think the sub 2 hour marathon within the, because I think somebody's going to plan to try to do it at a big race, either at the Olympics or one of the world majors. So next year is the Olympics. So Boston is the first race, right? The first world major in April. Is it Boston? Mm-hmm.
No.
Who's first?
I want to say it might be Tokyo. Let me
You might be right.
I want to say Tokyo is the first. Let me confirm real quick. But go ahead and say what you're saying.
So whatever that first world major is, I think it's going to miss out, because I think the elites are going to skip the spring world majors because of the Olympics. I could be wrong. They could run it. And then, you know, because the Olympics is going to be in June or July sometime.
Yeah. You think they're going to try to save their legs.
Yeah. So I think they may skip those spring marathons and run the Olympics and maybe run a fall world major.
So
be like Berlin and London, which they have. Berlin and London are two that they have a shot of breaking any kind of record on.
Right. So you've got Tokyo that's taking place in March.
Okay.
So Tokyo is March. And then you have your London is April. Boston is April. And then it goes Berlin, September, Chicago, October, New York, November. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I don't remember what Kipchoge ran the Olympic year. I don't remember what other race. I think he ran. Didn't he run Berlin the same year as the Olympics? I don't remember. So, I mean, either at the Olympics or at a fall world major is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I definitely think I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be many individuals out doing the for the third for Tokyo. I don't think there's going to be a lot of a big American field. I don't think that are trying to do much, but we'll see. We'll mm-hmm. see. I don't think there has been much announcement going on with that. So
yeah, I mean Tokyo we is shall flat. See. So mm-hmm. there's a, you know, I would just assume they're going to shoot for those flat races to mm-hmm. try to break the yeah. sub 2 hour marathon, which yeah. would be amazing. I don't know what you would do after that. I don't know. I mean, I think I think at that point I'm going to give up running. I'm done.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely think it is. I think it's coming sooner than later. I think definitely within the next 2 to 3 years, I think it's going to happen. Well, between next year, I think by 2026, the breaking two is going to happen.
2026? Oh, I think before
then. Between 2026. Yeah. But 2026, I say 2026. By then, yeah. it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think sooner. I think at the latest 2025. Because I think somebody, the way he ran Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like if, you know, he trains up, I mean, you know, because they train toward that time, you just need that perfect day.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You need that perfect day. And I think it will be at a race, that allows the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I'm thinking Berlin and London. That's why I'm yeah. thinking those two races.
I agree. All right, Tommy. So I want to just talk about something that's a little controversial right now. And I found it interesting. There's been a couple people that have messaged me in regards to this. And I want to speak to it a little bit. So Lululemon has been more so recently in the news over the last couple weeks and where two or a couple of their corporate employees have come forward and basically saying that they continue to hit a glass ceiling and that is different than what their white counterparts may hit. The way that their corporate structure is set up does not allow them to have growth. There's been some concerns with being able to obtain promotions. They feel like they've been having microaggressions towards them. And some of their management has basically been saying, in so many words, roll with it. So, of course, I am paraphrasing. Definitely check out the articles online. You could definitely Google it, Lululemon. Don't think they call it discrimination, but concerns with Lululemon and their diversity. I think that the people that have reached out to me definitely are like, hey, you have worked with the brand before. You did race announcing for the brand. What do you think about this? And also, I've been seeing a lot of people calling out the ambassadors of Lululemon because I don't know about you, Tommy, but there are a lot of people in Atlanta that we know personally that are ambassadors for the company, and they are Black. There has been a huge uptick in the ambassador program. There has been a huge uptick, I feel like, I'm going to speak for Atlanta because we don't live anywhere else. I'm going to speak for Atlanta, but there has been a huge uptick as well on Lululemon getting involved and engaged and trying to do more activities, geared towards, organizations, run clubs, people of color, like giving them the spotlight, the events and the time and the support that the company feels as if they deserve. So I think for me, living in Atlanta, seeing what Lululemon is doing here in Atlanta, I can see the movement of the needle that they're doing. Now, that does not negate the fact that there could be other things happening in corporate office, right? Like I'm not in corporate office, right? So there could be other things that could be definitely happening in the corporate office. So I guess my thing is, am I dismissing the articles and what potential allegations are there? Of course not. Because Tommy, you and I both talked in 2020 and we said, we're going to see which companies are doing performative work when it comes to this diversity and inclusion. And we're going to see who starts the fold after a couple years. And here we are, 2023. Yeah. We have already seen companies fold. We have already seen companies like they did a big thing in 2020, 2021. And here we are, we're not hearing anything or seeing any changes from them. But I think also through our conversation, Tommy, we've talked a lot about ensuring these companies need to ensure that their corporate structure is doing the same thing that they're doing on the ground, right? Like, if you're not putting diversity in the corporate spaces, then you still have work to do. And I think that there are a lot of companies that still need the work to be done in the C-suite corporate area, even though they are working on the ground with different things. So it sounds like to me that is the work that needs to be done. I know a lot of people feel as if they're not surprised with Lululemon. Lululemon has had other allegations come out against them. And I think that it's just up to you as a person on what you decide, if you want to continue to work with the brand, if you want to continue to wear their clothes. Of course, I feel like a lot of people right now are a part of the cancel culture. And as soon as an article comes out, they're canceling them. They're returning all their clothes. They're giving stuff back. They're never wearing it again. There's that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think that you definitely have to take heed to what you hear. You also have to see how it fits well with your morals and also the work that you potentially may do, how the company is interacting with you as an individual. I think you really have to take in all the different accounts that are definitely happening and see if that's something that you want to continue to work with. You and I definitely talk. We definitely know people from within Lululemon corporate that are people of color.
That's all I know.
Love to hear kind of their thoughts on it. I don't know if they can speak on it because there has been a lot of like articles and stuff that have been out. But I just wanted to bring it up because people have been asking me, being that I have worked with Lululemon. I don't have negative interactions with Lululemon. They have been great as far as the services that I have provided. I have done paid work with Lululemon, like the race announcing for the 10K. And the work that I, well, let me say this, the work that I have done with Lululemon has been paid. You and I have partnered with Lululemon on podcasts and things of that nature. But again, that's not negating that things could be going wrong. And if it is, I hope that Lululemon is addressing it as they need to.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen these articles, to be honest with you, as far as that. But I mean, start with the people that are stating that they're hitting a glass ceiling. I let anybody feel their feelings, because if they're truly telling they feel that this is what's going on, that's their feelings. Now, is it true? Is it just a misconception? Are they not getting report moved up the ladder for other reasons? Who knows? But if they feel they're hitting a glass ceiling, they're looking around and saying, why is this person being promoted over me when I feel like, you know, I've been doing my job and, you know, working hard? That could be the case. Secondly, articles, you know, today's world, fake news, good news, bad news, whatever. Just like you. But in Atlanta, and just y'all understand, Atlanta is a, I don't know if we're predominantly black, but it's a lot of us. Most places we go are going to have black folk working, managing. It's just that's the makeup of the city. As you said, with the ambassadors, you know, a lot of African-American ambassadors, you know, showing up. I mean, and not just in Atlanta. I mean, some of these world ambassadors that we see are definitely not African-American, but black, you know, UK, you know, that's that kind of thing. So they definitely, like you said, looks like on the ground they're trying to do it, but you know, is it for show? You know, and you know, some of it was, they were doing it before the whole George Floyd thing. They were already, you know, starting the work. They had minorities and stuff like that, but that maybe, you know, they did have a little, I think the only backlash I've ever really heard from Lululemon was, this is a while ago, when the, I don't know if he was the owner, the CEO, kind of fluffed off the fact that his clothes did not fit larger women. And he was just like, well, if you don't fit the clothes, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Well, if you don't fit them, you don't fit them. That is just, that's the size we make, you know, whatever. So I don't know if that's why they started bringing in different ethnic types to try to show, hey, you can't just make clothes for skinny, you know, white women.
And their models in store also have changed, like over the years. Like their silhouette that put on, what, I don't know what they call it, the mannequins. There we go, the mannequins. Yeah. They definitely look different as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it definitely has gone back and forth. I think the most recent article, if you're wanting to go read the article, it is from businessoffashion.com, and it is, the title of the article is at Lululemon. It's being off. Being black is off brand, is what the title is. So at Lululemon, being black is off brand. And that's businessoffashion.com. So you can definitely check out the article. And it definitely says that they interviewed 14 current and former Lululemon employees. Okay. Including sales associates, global ambassadors, and corporate managers in the U.S. and Canada, who have collectively described a corporate culture that is unwelcoming to Black people. So that is one of the highlights of the article. So definitely check that out. And like I said, do it what you may, and depending upon what your, you know, how you feel that you feel as if you should move with obtaining the information that you obtain.
Well, you know what's interesting? So now that you say global ambassadors are included in this article, that's more interesting to me because, I mean, they have, you know, they have nowhere to go. They're just looking out from the outside and they're saying, this is what I'm seeing. And then you talk about store managers. When I heard C-suite, I was thinking more of the corporate office, headquarters. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about a store manager, you know, saying that, that gives to me a little bit more credibility. There's not a whole lot of C-suite headquarter jobs. Those are very elite jobs. Those are hard to get. But come on, you can't. I mean, there's plenty of Lululemon stores out there that have openings. And if you're saying if you're not in a city maybe that is a minority city that has a lot of African-Americans or whatever, in those cities, we're not getting the African-American or the minority store managers. That would be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, like, we're all about, there needs to be equality. There needs to be, like, this is not something new that should be happening or should not be happening to anybody on a job, any person of color, not just a Black person, but a person of color in general should not be going through any of these things that potentially are happening in their corporate office. But just to put it out there, I just thought it would be interesting to bring up. I know a lot of times some people stray away from the controversial topics because they don't want to get blacklisted and things of that nature. And again, I just, if it is happening, which these people in the article have definitely said that it is, I really hope that Lululemon is doing the work internally from the corporate office and beyond to really adjust what they're doing and really putting some work in, getting some investigating if that's what needs to be done. And I really think that corporate organizations really need to have third party people come in to do investigations and understanding what may be happening, because you can send out surveys all day from your employees, but a lot of time employees are not going to be honest if it is the people that are reading the feedback and assessing the feedback are the people that they're complaining about. Like, a lot of times they're not going to do that because they may be concerned about losing their job. So I think,
or it's not worth it because they know nothing's going to happen. Not going to happen. So why am I going to do it?
So have a third party organization come in to really assess the climate of your organization, really assess how your employees are feeling, their welcomeness, a willingness, would they refer another person to work here at this company? All those things should be done, I feel, should be done through a third party company. Mm-hmm. So you can get valid responses and comfortable responses, because nobody wants to feel, if they're honest and true, that they'll lose their job.
True. Well, that's unfortunate if that's what's happening. And as I stated, you know, if that's how these people in this article feel, I'm with them with their feelings. But yeah, I would definitely love to, like you said, get something from Lululemon to kind of see how they feel about it. Do they feel like this is actually going on? Have they seen evidence of it? And if they haven't seen evidence of it, how do so many people say it is?
Yeah, definitely. So definitely. All right, Tommy, you got anything else going on?
That is it. I have nothing else. I'm just ready to go. Ready to go run on Saturday.
Listen up. Don't forget, Tommy's gonna be out there running on Saturday as his last race of the year. And if you are still looking for something to run for 2024, don't forget to look at the Publix Atlanta Marathon weekend if you are here. Again, there is a 5K, 3K, 50-meter dash for the kids, as well as a marathon and half marathon that is taking place the weekend of February 23rd, 24th, and 25th is when that marathon weekend is taking place. It's going to be a good time, good vibes, family-friendly environment. And if you have it, your will in you and the guts to do the marathon, come on out and enjoy that. Of course, we'll be running through the city. All participants will receive a commemorative shirt as well as a medal. for this race. And again, it will be finishing at the Home Depot backyard. And if you are a loyal listener of ours and you are blessed with this code, definitely go on over to AtlantaTrackClub.org to register. And you can use our discount code RD23 to receive 10% off. So
All right.
See you guys in 2 weeks and go on over and register for the race.
Exactly. Now, if they want to get in touch with you to sign you up for a race announcing,
sign me up for a race announcing.
Yeah, a race announcing on 2024, how would they do that?
Yes, you can hit me up on, if you are looking for a business inquiry, you can hit me up at contact@milesfromindia.com. That is my business email. My website is milesfromindia.com. And my social media is I of Indigo Run. So you can hit me up there.
All right. And you can email me at thomaswmitchell2@gmail.com or hit me up on the DM at tmitch68 on Instagram. All right. I will see you out there on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Y'all have a good one.
Bye-bye.